Unleashed Hotline Design Podcast. How may we help you? And welcome back to Hotline Design Podcast. In this week's episode, we're talking all about design sprints. What are they? How do we prepare one? And how do we make them absolutely fantastic? So ladies, I have to know, how have your weeks been?
Hi Lauren. So I have a very random update this week. I watched Eurovision last night, and it's always a big thing for us Europeans. I also have a feeling it's a bit bigger in Eastern Europe, but all the Western Europeans, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I feel like UK always gets 0 points, so no one cares about Eurovision here. That happened last night as well, by the way. No spoilers. And my favorite song won, so I was very happy. But yeah, what about you, Yusin?
That's great. My only experience with Eurovision as someone who's not from Europe is that film on Netflix with Will Ferrell in it. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, sounds like you had a really good evening. Maybe one day I will watch Eurovision. It sounds like a great occasion to have a party.
You both should come next year.
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, my update is really unexciting. I have been eating a lot of rye bread. It's really good. And that's all I have to say for my week update.
Basically, your health.
My update is about as dry as the bread I like to eat. That is it.
Yusin, I'm so glad that you are nourished. And speaking of being nourished, my update is that I went to a supper club and I've never been to one before. Have either of you guys been to a supper club?
I don't even know what a supper club is.
So a supper club is where you go to someone's house, like someone that's really good at the culinary arts, and they cook for you. And it's like a dinner party in a stranger's house. And it was a lot of fun. I went with 3 friends. And it's just, we are in an interior designer's house, who's also an amazing chef. And it was just so nice because you could ask questions about everything. Like, whereas in a restaurant, you don't want to either annoy the chef, who might be like far away in the kitchen, or the servers, like they're quite busy, but it was his home. So we were just like hanging out and we had the full like 5-course meal. And then afterwards, we just all hung out and drank. And it was just especially heartwarming in these times to one, be in someone's house, and two, to just get to drink with friends in a really like beautiful, safe, homely environment. So actually the one I went to is called Anoy, A-N-O-Y. So check it out if you're interested, because it was fantastic. And Levon was amazing.
Oh, cool. So this week we are talking about design sprints, and we have a bit of a disclaimer, which we hope is obvious, but in case it isn't, kind of all of this info and tips and tricks that we're talking about will mainly be taken from the book Sprint by Jake Knapp, John Saraski, and Braden Cowitz. Obviously, if you are kind of running a design sprint or you're interested, buy it, read it again. It's actually really good. But yeah, this is just going to be like an intro and top tips from our side, the things that we'd really enjoy, the things we know. This is just a very short intro into the process. Yeah.
So I guess we have to start from the question, what are design sprints? And if you're not familiar with this conceptual framework or this idea of running a design sprint, it's actually a 5-day process for answering critical business questions through design, prototyping, and testing ideas with customers. So it was developed by the authors of the Sprint book at Google Ventures, and it's been promoted really as a greatest hits of business strategy, innovation, behavior science, design thinking, and more, just really compressed into a process that has been tried and tested again and again that any team can use. So in the Sprint book, the authors actually mentioned that it normally runs a full work week, so from Monday to Friday. And on Monday, you would carry out this activity called making a map. So you would kind of map out how all of your stakeholders link up together and kind of choose a target problem to solve. On Tuesday, you would start to sketch competing solutions. On Wednesday, you would kind of hone in on those solutions and decide on the best one. And then on Thursday, you would have a full day to prototype the chosen solution. And finally, on Friday, you would dedicate that day to testing the prototype that you've developed.
So I'm actually really curious, what is your personal experience with running design sprints?
I actually haven't run any design sprints in a while, but my earliest memory of, makes me sound like a child or something. I remember running a design sprint about 2 years ago, and that was when I was first trying to get into UX. And I was working for the innovation team in our current company. So we basically ran this design sprint to help project managers at our client organization come up with a solution to managing these complex projects that they were involved in. And we had to come up with a vision and an idea for a tool that could help project managers at this organization mitigate some of the challenges that they were facing with getting data from different parts of the company and kind of tracking the completion of the projects that they were managing. When we were able to run this in person back before the pandemic, it was like myself and my team member actually went to the client's office the day before to set everything up. It was just like running a traditional workshop, really, except that we had to be very deliberate in terms of the activities we wanted to run, because we weren't doing a traditional design sprint across 5 days. We only really had 2 days to get everyone in a room, come up with some ideas, and come up with a prioritize an idea, and then take that and go and prototype it. So we essentially had to split it out somewhat. I would say it was not the purest form of a design sprint as advocated in the book by Nat Zaratsky and Kawitz, but it was still, I think, one of my best experiences of running a design sprint, just because by the end of it, like, the client was so bought into this whole process and we really emerged as something very tangible.
Yeah, like you, Yusin, it's been a while since I've actually been involved in a design sprint, but for a period of time, I was on these two back-to-back innovation projects with actually the same team. And the first one was a design sprint on steroids, essentially, because not only were we doing all the activities, but we were also using it as a stakeholder showcase. So we had like about 30 people in kind of the Tuesday and Wednesday. So the sketching the solution and then the deciding on the best solution. And then I think for the rest of them, we had like 15 people. So it was really a full-on week and really like a production. And then we actually had our second one right at the kickoff of COVID, where like a week before we were told we couldn't run it in the office. And it went virtual. And actually, I was in the UK on the Monday and then told to leave the country because my parents were very worried about COVID, flew back to Canada, had 4 hours of sleep, and then joined day two of the design sprint. So I can definitely say that Tuesday was a little bit hazy and maybe not my best outputs, but it was really interesting to see, like, because there's so many elements of agile post-it notes and really getting together and bouncing ideas off of one another, that it was really interesting to see it transition to online, especially on the early onsets of kind of working remotely in the pandemic.
Definitely.
Have you run any design sprints?
I actually haven't. I tried convincing lots of people to do it. And I actually said to my manager on my kind of like first few days, I was like, I want to run a design sprint. Make it happen. Because we actually do that for clients.
Mm.
But yeah, I haven't. Yeah. I've done like the exercises in silos. So as part of workshops, I've taken some of the exercises and run them to like prioritize and stuff like that. But I haven't done the full process.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much, ladies. So we've talked a little bit about our own experiences and what a design sprint is, but ultimately, how do we run one? As I kind of said at the start, there's loads of handy checklists and resources in the book, but also if you don't have the book, you can go to library.jv.com. You can get all of the resources to make sure that you are absolutely ready. In our show notes, we actually have preparation is key in red, because honestly, like, we can't stress this enough. If you have been tasked with running or preparing a design sprint, make sure you have enough time to do it. And I know this is really hard, especially if you're maybe quite junior or you're not in a company that is very design mature. But I would say don't take it on if someone told you on a Friday evening that you have to run one from Monday. I think that really sets you up for failure, even if you work all weekend. And the risks are really too high. you will be an incredibly stressed facilitator. You will likely have to shuffle around, make sure that what the next exercise is and everything. And it actually has the risk of kind of telling the company that this process doesn't work if it's kind of doesn't have the desired outcome at the end. So I would say if you kind of take anything away from this podcast, it's this: prepare and prepare some more.
I absolutely second that, and probably belaboring the point here, but I think because a design sprint is compressed into just 5 days and there is a set framework to follow, there is a key activity you should be running every day, it is quite stressful, especially when you're in the thick of it. And you want to also make sure that everyone is getting value out of the workshop, particularly when a lot of the time people who are going to be at the design sprint are probably going to be very important in that organization you're working for. They might be part of the C-suite. So one thing that I think with the pandemic it's become apparent is that any meeting you attend should ideally deliver value. And what I've learned is I always like to try and think about what's going to happen in the workshop and send an agenda in advance. And I feel like that probably applies as well for design sprints. If people are not familiar with the framework, I think it's quite useful to define an agenda or at least tell them what they're going to be doing on every day and send it out before you actually run a design sprint. And speaking of preparation, so how exactly do you prepare? And I probably mentioned this earlier on, but when we ran a design sprint in person, the colleague that I was doing the design sprint with, we actually traveled down to client site and we made sure that the space was big enough for the number of participants we had. We made sure that things were laid out in a really clean, nice way and made sure that there was ample space actually around the table in the middle, just to make sure that we could stick things up on walls, stick any materials that we had created in advance of the session so that people could kind of walk around organically, digest those things, and making sure that there is a space for everything really. So like a post-it wall or even kind of drawing out the agenda and sticking it up on the wall. I thought that was really good for giving everyone a common reference point. The same principles probably apply to running a remote design sprint. So if you have Miro or Miro boards, making sure that everything is set up with an agenda slide at the start, and then just kind of giving people space to navigate around and just put their ideas there, like putting in post-it notes so that people can easily cut and paste them if they need to. So I think that those tiny things really do make a little difference to how the overall day will run. And it also gives your participants the impression that everything is catered for and that has been set up in advance. The other thing is to choose the big challenge to work on ahead of time. So it's important to define this or at least have a general idea of what challenge you're going to be working on. Even if the wording isn't perfect, you can agree on that in the first day when you run a design sprint. But it's really good, obviously, to know why exactly you're running the design sprint and what your key challenge is. And often it's quite useful to word this in a how might we statement. Again, probably going back to the whole double diamond design thinking process, but using how might we at the start kind of makes it seem more collaborative and also opens up everyone's minds to coming up with different ideas that can be used to tackle this problem. And then we'll talk a little bit more later about recruiting the team. Because it's recommended to have a maximum of 7 people in a design sprint, it's really important to make sure that the right people are present. And just kind of a last little tip there is, if it's your first time running a design sprint, the authors of the sprint book have actually prepped lots of helpful materials, including this whole series of YouTube videos on how to run a design sprint, where they kind of break down how exactly you would run something day to day. And this helped me a lot when I was preparing for my first design sprint. Just going through the YouTube videos and seeing how people run it in the flesh helps you understand how to communicate better with your stakeholders during the actual session.
Yeah, and as Yusin mentioned, it's so important to choose the right people for a design sprint. So ideally, there should be 7 people, including yourself, or fewer. Fewer numbers allows you to actually kind of make decisions and move quickly. And then it's really important to have one person to defer to call the shots and just to really decide if they're like two competing opinions. And then it's important to ensure that there's a diverse range of skills in the team. So you could have people that specialize in marketing, you could have finance folk, people, designers, developers. Diverse views are really important to ensure that you're covering off a lot of bases and making like a really robust product. And then it's especially a great opportunity to bring any skeptics along for the journey. I think a lot of people, when you kind of just tell them about what a design sprint at a high level is, they might not quite buy in, but it's another thing if you bring them in to participate day of and they're kind of getting their hands dirty. I've seen a lot of stakeholders that kind of thought it was hippy-dippy bullshit really get immersed in it and really have a new perspective at the end of the design sprint. And it's also important just to know a bit about the people that are joining beforehand so you can kind of work on how best to collaborate and get the most out of the group.
Yeah, this next tip is probably the hardest one, but make sure you kind of utilize tools at your disposal for it. So our third tip here is time. The best thing about design sprints is that you can create solutions really quickly. But if you don't use your time wisely, you won't. So make sure you plan each exercise accordingly with a little bit of stretch time if needed. Make sure you have breaks in between activities to make sure that everyone is exercised. In the design sprint book, it actually says plan for a late lunch at about 1 instead of 12. Because that way you get a little bit more energy out of people with a little bit of a snack at around 11 or 11:30. But yeah, use a handy time timer as the creators of the design sprint like to. Or you can use a phone, a watch, anything available. We do recommend though that the solutions that allow for people to see the time left for the activity are best, just because it's kind of like everyone is on the same page of how long is left. So if you don't have a time timer or an hourglass or anything like that, you can actually, let's say you're in a room and you can share your screen somewhere, you can share your screen with a timer on it. There's websites and stuff where you can set any time. And if you're doing it virtually, both Miro and Mural have timer functionality embedded in it. So yeah, use it because it's at your disposal.
So Lavinia, to your point of the time timer, one of my design sprints that I was a part of, my manager was really passive aggressive towards this one stakeholder that was able to talk for eons and never paid attention to time. So my manager told me to go out and get the biggest timer I could find, which normally would be fine. But unfortunately, this design sprint was actually in Gothenburg. So I had to travel with maybe one other set of clothes and then my entire carry-on taken up by this massive Flavor Flav time timer. So yeah, it was very effective, but ultimately I felt very underprepared for the flight and the trip because I only had this giant clock to my name.
You were robbed of your space.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. So moving on, another tip that we have is don't be too wedded to the process and feel free to switch up or experiment with additional exercises, especially during the ideation part of it if you find it helpful. So every problem is different and the process is very well laid out and well documented, but it's not set in stone. So depending on the specific challenge that you're trying to solve, you can use a combination of different exercises. And the standard go-to exercises normally that we use in workshops and design sprints are things like how might we, so brainstorming how might we questions with different post-its, affinity mapping, crazy eights to come up with different ideas, and then doing a joint solution sketch where you kind of wireframe what your end product is going to look like if that's a digital product. And there is normally a set way in which these exercises run. But for example, if your team is having difficulty deciding on one really good how might we question or one really good idea, don't feel like you have to strictly count the number of dot stickers that people put on each idea. Obviously, dot stickers are there to give you a rough indication of what the most popular ideas are. But ultimately, if the group can't come to consensus, then it's important to be flexible and remember that you have to decide in the room to help you make the call and essentially make sure that the team can progress without being stuck too long on which is the best idea.
Definitely. And I think you always need to remember to bring the fun and bring the danger. So as always, I endorse bringing the beanie babies, make sure that you whip them at stakeholders that aren't paying attention. You have the fun music. You really bring that energy and bring that positive vibe to the space.
Love it.
So a question for you ladies, what is your favorite tip or even exercise from the design sprint process?
Thank you very much for asking. Yeah, I love the fact that it creates enough constraint to not allow people to waffle too much and come up with a solution. I think we all struggle with this in meetings. There is so much debate, so much back and forth, so much chatter, so many delays. You sometimes come out of a meeting and you're, did we really need to have that meeting? Did it actually solve what we wanted to solve? And so on. But I think with the design sprint, because everything is so planned out and you obviously need to have an output by the end of Friday as a team, that really creates the constraints that allow people to move on together with kind of like the side they're being in the room and being able to progress things when people can't come to a conclusion together. So for me, I think that's it. The fact that you can like progress quite quickly without needing all the chitter chatter.
Personally, I really like the solution sketch part of the process because it's very visual. So normally, obviously, this comes closer to the end of the design sprint, but there's just something super satisfying in turning the ideas that you've jointly agreed on into something more visual and tangible. And also from my experience, it's been a really useful tool for bringing stakeholders on board because people react very well to something visual. And when you get them involved in the process, even if they believe, oh yeah, they can't draw and they can't really contribute to that process, just kind of giving them the tools to start sketching things out and making it a safe space for them is really nice. And when they start to see their ideas come to life and you start kind of mishmashing people's ideas together, it's really good for getting stakeholders bought into the process and definitely a win in my book.
And I really actually like the planning process. And I would say that a good tip is to really use all your time effectively, and that includes the breaks, whether that be the 15-minute tea break or whether that be lunch, because I think there's actually a lot of opportunities to have a space for additional bonding or kind of additional fun. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's super easy just when you're writing the agenda to say, break, okay, I don't need to think about this one, but it might be advantageous to think about the spaces you have, if there's an opportunity to go outside, an opportunity to potentially have a list where people can add music that they want to hear when they come back as energizers, even snacks if you have the budget. I know that we've ordered some lunches for our design sprints and it's been really great, and we've been able to really set up a fun area, lots of chairs for everyone to mix and mingle and chat about the day. So even though you're not in the workshop, you're helping to really build the team.
And breaks are really good opportunities for re-energizing as well, especially when you get to kind of like the middle of the week on Wednesday after everyone's been working so hard together first few days. Like those breaks are kind of like mental space in a way, which is really important to keep people going and keep them productive.
And speaking about things that will continue to be productive, we've got this week's Hotline Design Hotline caller.
Hotline Design, I'm Megan, a longtime listener and a first-time caller. I've been thinking about facilitating a design sprint for a while at my company. Everything I read and learned is quite positive, but I want to be fully informed and understand its limitations. What are the constraints and drawbacks of design sprints, in your opinion?
So I think, obviously, the design sprint process, especially as outlined in the Google Ventures book, is obviously an idealized process, and that's what you would hope to get to if you're a very experienced facilitator and you kind of have a really clear vision of what you're trying to get to and you have the right people in the room. And that's when I think the design sprint process really works. But I think in reality, sometimes it can be quite difficult to ensure that all of these conditions are met or are perfect. And that's when I think you might face more challenges running a design sprint, when you realize maybe halfway that you don't really have the right people in the room, or people don't really engage. And I think it's especially challenging if you haven't run consecutive design sprints before. Like, you might not really know how to manage or engage with those stakeholders. So I do think that can be quite tricky sometimes, especially when you're not as experienced at running design sprints and you realize that maybe there is too much debate rather than general consensus. And that might be one of the drawbacks of running a design sprint. So to combat that, we would again emphasize making sure that you have the upfront preparation, that you kind of figure out who exactly needs to be in the room, and that I think most importantly, you try and speak to stakeholders to ensure that you're designing for the right problem. Because if you don't design for the right problem and you kind of come up with a solution that doesn't really tackle the crux of the problem, then essentially you've just spent actually a lot of people's time and they've been fully blocked out in this design sprint. So probably knowing your client and just kind of surveying them and making sure you have the right questions to ask will help combat some of those problems.
I love it. Absolutely. So at my company, sometimes when a client has quite a tight budget, the way to deliver big projects is to take kind of each problem and make it into a design sprint. So sometimes I've seen some of my colleagues run like 4 design sprints in a row, and that could sound like fun, but it can also be like a proper recipe for burnout. Design sprints are called sprints for a reason. You are working really fast, you have a lot of like time pressure and things like that. So in my opinion, it's best to not run more than 2 at a time and maybe take a week in between to consolidate all the findings, put maybe some of the feedback you got from the testing stage on Friday in practice, get second opinions, things like that, and kind of like breathe a little bit until you kind of move on to maybe another 2 sprints. But yeah, I think even for kind of the most extroverted people, it's quite an intense process, and that's one of the drawbacks. You need kind of like a bit of rest afterwards.
For sure. And one downside I would like to highlight is in facilitating, you'll find that there are people with the loudest voices, and then there are people that are a bit more soft-spoken or don't really want to share their opinion in a group. And oftentimes, the louder voices in design sprints end up with their ideas more at the forefront. So just if you are facilitating a design sprint, it is something to look out for. I think in a way, it's gotten a bit better if you're doing a virtual one, just because people might feel a bit more confident to speak up, especially like if they're not on camera, but also the ability to have it more centered around like a mural. But I would say like look out for those people that are really loud and make sure that they're not the only ones that are having their opinions heard. And then I would say we've touched on this before, but especially if you're facilitating a design sprint, you definitely need at least a week, if not 2, to plan it. These are very jam-packed, very difficult facilitation activities. So I would say you actually need to dedicate all that time to planning it. And sometimes it's hard to get stakeholder approval to kind of take that time to plan the sprint right. So really make sure that you're trying to get that time. And if not, maybe a design sprint isn't right. And also just the struggle of trying to get time in people's diaries, like 7 people to dedicate their entire week to a design sprint, is really difficult. So you almost need to know about your design sprint like a month in advance.
For sure. And I guess a good product manager or any kind of person that deals with diaries, if you have like a teammate like that, they are your best friend when it comes to this.
Definitely. Megan, thank you so much for your question. And if anyone else would like to submit a question, you can do so at anchor.fm/hotlinedesignpod. And that just about does it for our episode this week. You can find us at hotlinedesignpod on Instagram and hotlinedesignpod@gmail.com. Have a great week.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected. Please check the number and try your call again.